Ooh. Oh, man. All right. So, this is... Why don't you introduce us?
I got my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Children of all ages, except if you're under the age of 21. Change your podcast now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Peter Mills and Topher Hartfield, and we are here with our first podcast of Crafted Conversations.
Episode number one.
Or is it episode 000?
One? Is 2001?
This like the, is this like the pilot?
Ah, beta.
Beta. Our beta cast. We're doing a little tweeting right now, too. We got some delicious River North Brewery beers and some Upslope beer, which we're drinking right at this moment. The Thai style white IPA by Upslope. Ale brewed with Asian-inspired spices. 6.5% alcohol, limited release. And you know what? Overall, I really like Upslope beer. I'm going to put these others in the fridge.
Okay. Yeah, the Upslope is, I don't know. It's got a really, really, really strong nose on it.
Yeah, it's a...
I'm just giving it a little smell here.
A little sniffy sniff.
It's got some funk. It's almost like reminiscent of like some farmhouse saisons, in my opinion. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here.
That's kind of what I, it's got a really big funky kind of characteristic. So what are we doing here at Crafted Conversations? We're bringing you guys a whole bunch of awesome, awesome podcasts about different things that are near and dear to our heart and mostly our stomachs. So everything from craft beer and wine and liquor to coffee to cheesemongers, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. I really just like saying that.
Yeah, let's not forget those candlestick makers.
I don't know. Do candlestick makers still... Are they still alive? Do they... I mean, people are probably alive.
I don't think they make sticks anymore. They just make candles.
They just make candles, no sticks. And put it on a giant chandelier, like Beauty and the Beast. We're eating some porter cheese, some cracked black pepper, some brisola and sopressata. And we're geeking out on some food and drinks. But I think the most important fact is... This podcast, for all of our friends out there who are tuning in and all of our new people checking us out, we're going to bring to you people that we've come to adore over the years, some of our favorite bartenders, some of our favorite breweries and distilleries, some of our favorite people who are just passionate about their work, because that's where we get our inspiration from, and I feel like that's where the focus of creativity and modern-day ingenuity and entrepreneurship, it's... Colorado's amazing for it, so we're set up in a really nice place.
And it's good to point out, too, this will not be limited to just Colorado. Maybe taking this worldwide.
Yeah, we've been inspired by Colorado and driven by our friends and everyone else around the world.
Yes, and I think this is a good time also to mention that our website is craftedconversations.com, where you will be able to find all the details about our episodes, any extras. We're going to have some videos, some pictures, some recipes, and a whole lot more.
A whole lot more. It's like one giant elephant of information. But you know what they say about eating an elephant? One bite at a time.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, I think you're actually supposed to kill it first is what they say, but it sounds about right.
It sounds so murderous.
I love you, elephants. Please don't attack my family.
And as a PSA, do not murder elephants.
Yes, please do not eat elephants alive, or any other animal or living creature, for that matter. All right, so we've also got a Twitter at Crafted Conversations. It's going to be Crafted Convos. So is our Instagram. It's Crafted Convos. And our Facebook is, of course, www.facebook.com/Crafted Convos. Is it Crafted Convos?
Yes, it sure is.
Okay. So we'll be sending out tweets of the stuff that we're eating and drinking. You can eat and drink with us as we go along. And feel free to tweet us while we're in the middle of our sessions and we can answer questions. You know, we're just getting started. So shoot us any emails at peter@craftedconversations.com or you can send them to topher@craftedconversations.com.
Did you just give out my email to the world?
To the world.
I guess that's okay.
It's in this instance. Please just don't send us your crap.
Wait, did you say craft?
Send us your crafts. Don't send us your crap.
Yeah, please send us your craft. Not your crap.
Yeah. Which is gonna be awesome. If you have questions, if you have interesting things like some of the people that we want to talk to, the guys from Crooked Stave.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are pretty awesome. Their beers, they're the modern day sours and their take on barrel aging and wild yeast. I mean, the guy, what, he got his PhD in yeast by the age of 29?
Oh, that guy was crazy.
That's awesome.
Hopefully he'll be on our show one day.
Yeah, hopefully he'll talk to us.
And I can tell him in person that he's crazy.
That you are crazy.
Crazy. Awesome.
Yeah. This is where we need sound effects.
It's like, oh, wait.
Shwarma!
And if, yes, if you would like to send us your soundboard, please address the UPS package too.
Crafted Conversations at Crafted Conversations Lane on area code 90210, Crafted Conversations, Colorado. Not a real thing.
That's not a real address.
No. There's also, you know, like, the source opened up, right? And there's a whole bunch of great people. The guys, I remember his name exactly, and we'll...
Let's just, first of all, let's back up a second. Let's talk about the source, because that's an interesting place, particularly as far as craft goes, because it's kind of a revolutionary idea. I don't know if this is being experimented with or if it's been reproduced in other places in the States, but in Colorado, it's kind of a new thing for us, and the idea is great, and I remember you... so eloquently put it the first time we went there. Oh, look, everyone, it's the REI for food and beverage.
Yeah, I remember who told me that. They said it was the REI of food and beverage, just a collection of little craft producers. Two restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Crooked Stave, an excellent
brewery,
liquor
coffee
store.
Shop, liquor store.
The coffee shop, yeah.
There's some artwork, butcher, florist.
Yeah, butcher, florist, and produce?
Produce,
baker,
baker, produce, a candlestick maker, maybe.
Maybe one or two.
Out back, hiding.
Just waiting for his turn. But it's amazing. It's like this little small group, the small, you know, they're turning all these old, unused buildings into very cool, modern day places where you can hang out. You spend like 4 hours there. You get some food. You can go to the Proper Pour, which is one of my favorite liquor stores. And you can get some really unique beverages. You can talk to the guys there. They know a whole bunch of information, which is awesome. I was just asking him about beer tasting references. He gave me some good ideas. And it's funny because where I grew up, you didn't have this interest in food and beverage, which is why it's so awesome.
Mm.
Coming out here where people are, I always make the joke, people are always up for a drink. But the joke is, you know, where I came from, it was like if you had a drink by noon, people were like, oh my God, you're an alcoholic. What are you doing? But out here, you know, I'll wake up at 9 o'clock and I'll call friends up and be like, hey, you guys want to go to Snooze? Yeah, get some mimosas? And they'll be, what do you mean, want to go? We've been here for an hour. Hurry up and get up. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And, you know, this is after a nice night of enjoying great beverages, breweries, distilleries, all that. What's that coffee shop you did? Thump? That place is cool.
Mm, I do enjoy Thump. They make a great cup of coffee. The Americano is fantastic.
I have a really strong urge just to keep yelling out, shawarma!
This episode is brought to you by shawarma. With yogurt sauce.
With yogurt sauce. talk about, this is going to be one show full of giant innuendos and inside jokes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. Let's get a little bit more into the thick, if you will.
Crafty?
Yeah, this into the craft. With this Upslope Thai style white IPA. All brewed with Asian-inspired spices. I think it's funny that they call it Asian-inspired spices. Why not just call it...
Asian spices?
Asian spices? Probably. Maybe the spices aren't all from Asia?
They're probably not all from Asia.
Yeah.
It's because there's a little Asian man who's...
Is there... do we have a description to go on here besides this? Any type of indication of spices? Or shall we just start to... Oh, here we go. Ingredients. Number one, snow melt.
That's yes, right.
I love this. This is fantastic.
Well, if it's not, I love that. In anywhere in Colorado, it's like, we're so known for our water. It's so amazing. And yes, it is amazing. It's like, you know, bourbon and the effect of limestone on the water and its richer qualities. But I feel like when they say snow melt, it's just like, why don't you just say mountain water? Why does it have to be snow melt? We'll look into that and get back to you.
Mm. Well, I'm glad they decided to melt it first. But further down the list, we got some malt, citrus hops, ginger, coriander, Thai basil, lemongrass, and Belgian wit yeast.
Belgian wit yeast. I don't know anything about yeast. I know a little bit about yeast, but not that much.
You need a yeast expert.
I need a yeast expert.
I do know, well, as one of my good friends always says with Belgian beers, that you tend to think they taste like, well, two things. One, bananas. And two, hot dogs. Because of the coriander. He thinks it tastes like hot dog water. And I was like, this is really interesting. I don't know where you've been drinking your hot dog water at.
I don't know about you, but my hot dog water doesn't taste like that. Why are we hot dog tea? Is that basically what we're gonna do that one day? We're gonna brew some hot dogs.
And we're just gonna drink the water.
We're gonna boil some hot dogs and we're just gonna drink the water.
Ugh.
That sounds exciting. For those of you who have not turned off already and are cringing in your seats, it does get better. We'll have pictures.
Do we have pictures?
No.
Oh. Wait. Yeah, we do. Pictures of meats and cheeses.
Oh, yeah, just not hot dog water.
Oh, not, no. Why would you take a picture of hot dog water?
I don't know. I feel like that's some sort of prevalent. I don't really have an answer.
I do like on this, you know, Upslope's always been known. They are, is it true they're 100% can only? Or do they bottle? I can't remember.
I don't think they bottle at all, but I do think that they, I would assume that they have growlers.
Well, yeah, growlers, but like the whole idea of the can kind of, you know, craft beer going back into the can.
Yeah.
Being portable as spec'd right on their can.
Yeah, they really want their stuff to be like the camper and hiker friendly, you know, leave no trace kind of thing. Like you take it up, you take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better. Is it easier to recycle cans? I don't know.
Aluminum. We should ask a recycling expert.
Recycling.
Hmm. Yeah, the Belgian wit yeast really comes through on this. I do enjoy it. It's a nice gold color. Hey, back off the microphone. Don't spill beer on the microphone. We've got to use this thing for a long time.
I feel like you can marinate some food in this beer and it'd be delicious, although it's not exactly inexpensive. It's not expensive by any means. It's just kind of like, if you're going to pour this on some food, you better
make sure
it's damn good.
Yeah, I mean, I love pouring a nice, crafty Mexican beer in my beans or margarita, but no, I have spoken with some folks that have done some really amazing things cooking-wise with really amazing beers and, you know, really taking some of these craft beers that have amazing flavors that aren't necessarily inexpensive. You know, these are very nice, crafted, expensive beers. But,
they're not expensive.
I said the Mexican delicious session beers that I put in my black beans are a little cheaper. Which is crucial, by the way. I don't think you make beans in any other way, shape, or form.
Without cheaper beer?
Well, no, I think it's the Mexican beer you have to use.
You know, which is funny because I noticed when I started drinking beer, so I grew up. You definitely have been exposed to this longer than I have. You've been here. I've been here 4 years in Colorado. You've been here how long?
Just about 4 years.
No. Well, maybe not. But when we started out here, I remember like tasting beers and really tasting the difference. And I feel like, I don't know if it's Mexican beer in particular. I've noticed it in some craft beers. But there's it seems like there's less carbonation.
Uh-huh.
In Mexican beers, which I really like. Because you still get that nice kind of bubble, that fizz, that pop. But it's not over the top. Like when I, you know, was not that I don't like Bud Light or Coors Light or Miller Light. You know, I still drink those. I'll drink a Coors. We drink those pretty regularly. I mean, but it's like for some reason, like you can't. When I chug one of those, I feel like I'm going to explode. When I drink a bunch of Mexican beers, I'm like, oh, these are so smooth. So I recommend that. Anybody who has never really noticed that, drink a American beer and a Mexican beer side by side and notice just the carbonation.
The carbonation factor. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has to do with water source, yeast.
I don't know.
Perhaps someone can enlighten us on this topic.
I know.
We're just shooting in the dark here.
I know we are. Shooting in the dark, but we're not shooting blanks, thank God.
Oh my goodness.
Shawarma!
I just looked at the website. They say that why the can?
Why the can?
Yeah.
Package our beer in aluminum cans because it's good for you, the beer, and the environment.
You know, very good.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another interesting topic. We just got our super fun fact from our very, very good friend Joe Harris
No, his name is what?
Chiquito.
Oh yeah, sorry. We revealed his new name, which or his name.
Chiquito.
Wait, what was it?
Chiquito.
Chepe. Joe's alter ego in Nicaragua is Chepe, but he just provided us the awesome fun fact from Upslope Brewery, and that they want ultimate portability and being able to recycle their products.
Yeah, so that's a funny thing too. People have this way of thinking like, oh, beer tastes better in a can, or tastes better in a bottle, or tastes better in a glass. I've heard a lot of people say that they like canned beer. I've heard a lot of people say they like bottled beer. You know, I drink out of glass, but that's usually because I like to look at the beer and I like to get rid of some of that carbonation.
I like drinking beer out of a bucket.
Bucket. Just a bucket.
Just in there. Just one giant bucket full of beer.
I mean, when was the last time you had a bucket of beer? And I'm not talking the bucket that houses the bottles and ice that you get. I'm just talking about beer in a bucket.
The full 5-gallon bucket of beer.
Or the, no, how about the boot?
Das Boot?
Das Boot.
I've actually never had a beer out of a boot.
I would like to segue at this point in time about, and maybe bring back an interesting story. I really hope someone that is listening to this can relate, but have you ever ducked a beer? Mm-mm. So when I went to go visit my sister years ago in college, she went to the University of Richmond, and we went to a house party one night where several of the guys that lived there had these, I believe they were like decoy ducks that you use for hunting, or I'm not exactly sure. They were basically a duck,
yeah.
And they were hollow. And, you know, the kind of like, if you were new to the party, they insisted that they dumped a whole beer into the duck and you had to literally chug the beer out of the duck. So hence ducking a beer, and it was all great fun.
That sounds pretty sporadic. I heard those things can be worth a lot of money. Decoy ducks? Apparently people collect those.
Wait. Beer decoy ducks? Beer? Or just decoy ducks?
Beer koi ducks? Dekeer?
Can you elaborate on this, Joe?
So I'm just like, what the hell are you guys saying?
Well, he hunts, or, you know, he comes from a fine line of hunters in his family. Maybe just,
just because he's a lady killer. Yeah, no.
Now while I'm drinking. No jokes while I'm drinking.
All over the microphone. I'm gonna stop sitting next to you. You're gonna spit everywhere.
I'm gonna need a clean up in the studio.
Clean up on aisle one.
Oh, what else? We have something else to try too, don't we?
We do. We have the J. Marie by River North.
River North Brewery in Denver.
Which is a farmhouse, which is one of my favorites.
Okay.
And we've got their 2014 barrel age. It's got it's got a whiskey barrel, Chardonnay barrel, and sherry barrel age to it.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's going to be sexy.
Yeah, get it. Can you get it there? You want me to hold it?
Yeah, right.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
The Barrel Reserve 2014 by River North Brewery. Listen to its sex.
Ooh. Sounded great.
Did actually.
We should do like bottle opening porn where it's just sounds of bottles getting opened. Like, glug, 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 sizzle, sizzle.
Ooh, I like the way it dances on my tongue.
Oh, yeah.
This thing is, oh my God. I'm going to have to go buy another one of these.
Okay, let's talk about this. What do we got going on here?
2014 River North Barrel Aged Brew that they've got going on.
All right. 55% ale aged in whiskey barrels, 31% ale aged in sherry barrels, and 14% ale aged in Chardonnay barrels. Man, they really went bananas on this. That's a lot of barrels.
That's a good beer.
That's a lot of percentages. Why would you think you would do 31% and 14?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that sometimes. It's like, we're going to do 6% of this. There's got to be some sort of balance that they're expecting.
I wonder if they do like dropper bottles. How do you do this calculation? People from River North, call us. We want you on our show.
Please. This beer's pretty good.
Right? Oh man.
This one, it smells. It's got like the, you know, I feel like I smell more of the sherry than anything, and taste more of it too. It's like, it's almost like Coca-Cola syrup or like Mr. Pibb, and then it's like raisins and bitter chocolates, little cherry notes in there.
Yeah, definitely some dark chocolates, cherry, old wooden fence.
That has a smoky afterbirth.
Is that what they call it?
No.
Are you just making things up now?
Not borrowing that from my good friend, Greg.
We're getting a lot of hate mail from some tasters out there going like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
What are you drinking? Why does it taste like that?
And I like the it's got like a bite to it, and it's just, you know, the carbonation. Like, you know, what you were talking about earlier with the Mexican beers. Mm-hmm. Lacking in carbonation, where this has like a really solid fizz to it.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I like the way this beer smells a lot more than I like the way it tastes. I like the way it tastes, I really do. But the way it smells is just awesome. I stick my nose in this beer and just keep it there.
Perhaps you would use this as a cologne?
Perhaps. You could bottle this down. We could go to an apothecary, which we still don't know exactly the definition of an apothecary.
It just sounds really brilliant. And highbrow.
Highbrow. Boil this down to a perfume.
So we've established this is a highbrow beer.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely not, I don't even know what I got this for. Maybe, I got it at the proper pour. I might have gotten it for like $18, but well worth it. I always like River North's styling and their labels. Like, it's just all very clean.
Is styling as far as branding?
The branding. It's just very clean. It's just very pretty. That's right. I said pretty. Don't judge me. I'm still a man.
Now, River North is the ex-location of Flying Dog, correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were saying. And Flying Dog went up what? Up north, northeast?
No, Maryland, I believe?
Yeah, I think so.
I need to look in the... Hey, you want a fun fact this? Chepe's on the fun facts.
Chepe on the fun facts.
So he's like the legal team that checks to make sure that what we're talking about is actually factual and not just a bunch of made-up ramblings. Yeah.
So it looks like they've got a whole bunch of barrel-aged... Okay, so basically what they says is it's from several of our favorite barrel-aged ales. Mm. So they have the whiskey, sherry, and chardonnays all barreled, but they're just blending different percentages, which is funny because that's exactly what they do with wine.
Yes.
Different percentages of varietals. It's kind of the same thing.
Let me take out this bottle. What are we looking at on alcohol here?
Oh, you know, I meant to look at that, and I
started reading. It's not. It doesn't... Does it say?
Did you know the guy's name was Stranahan?
Oh, what?
Started Flying Dog Brewery.
His name was Stranahan, too?
Yeah. It started in
Aspen.
Flying Dog
did?
So Flying Dog started in Aspen, moved to Denver, and was here for a while. I do know
that. I don't know why they left.
River North was the River North Brewery currently holds their location is where Flying Dog used to be.
Resides in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Previous location.
Okay, so what happened was they acquired a company called Wild Goose Brand.
Okay.
And it was the Frederick Brewing Company. They acquired that, and it happened to be in Maryland, and then they moved all operations to Maryland.
Okay, so...
I wonder if they had a bigger production over there.
They may have. Because the River North Breweries, it's a fairly sizable distribution, or I don't even know what you want. It's a fairly sizable brewery.
Yeah.
I was looking for a fancy term, but I wasn't having it.
That brewery's a big brewery.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. You guys know it. It's like, it's big. It's big. What happens is it's a big brewery, and they brew beers, and it's big.
But the tasting room is actually quite small and cozy.
Yeah, it is. There's got to be, what, maybe 9 seats and then a couple of tables out there.
Yeah, some very friendly folks, though, that work there.
Nikki, shout out to Nikki, who was extremely accommodating when we were there last. One of their amazing... tap. I feel like she was like a manager or something of some sort, but she was handling the tap. She kind of gave us a tour, sat down and chatted with us, and hopefully we can... Do you still have that video?
Yeah, I do have that video. We shot some video there, which was really, really great. Some great kind of questions that Topher was asking.
Was definitely entertaining.
Just about the whole process and the craft brewing process and... their kind of take on brewing, which they are all Belgian style, is that correct?
I think so. I believe that was their main focus.
Yeah, that they are pretty much in a Belgian style brewery or brewing in a Belgian style. which I think is great.
I like Belgian beers. I like, you know, it's funny. A lot of people are like, oh, we're tired of New Belgium and this and that because we've had it for so long. But you know what? Quality producers are still quality producers. These guys, you know, New Belgium, Fat Tire and whatnot. Some of their beers are a little similar, maybe. But I still like them. They are a great company. They're very mindful of their surroundings and the people that work for them. And overall, I respect that.
Hmm.
Still on that white.
Well, yeah, I put down the upslope Thai style white just to taste this River North, and coming back to it is just quite impressive with the nose it's got going on, all the
sexy,
the glorious smells that just take you to another land on the other side of the world, perhaps somewhere in Asia.
Perhaps.
Compared to that white, this is my kind of beer.
Yeah.
That white IPA. It was good. It was. It was big. It was good. It's like bitter. It had a whole lot of stuff going on. But this stuff has more, I don't know. I like more brown ales, amber ales. I like Belgians. I like Scottish. I like Scotch. I like Scotch and bourbon. I like malt-forward beers less than I like IPAs, which is interesting. When I was in San Diego, that was like their big thing. It's like everybody was huge IPAs. Into hops. Yeah.
Well, that's a West Coast thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And that's where some of our hops come from, and you know, we hope we don't get that hop shortage going on, which, you know, we'll have to look into that. It's just an interesting thought. Hops are perennials, in case you didn't know. 2 year, something like that.
What was the percent alcohol?
What was the percent alcohol?
We haven't figured that out yet on the River North. We're going to figure that out at the bottom of the bottle when we are on the floor.
Yeah, so if anybody out there is tasting beer or wine or whiskey or taking any of our recommendations, remember, you really can't tell the quality of the product until you get to the very bottom. So that's where you're really able to decipher and dissect, you know, the quality of the... That was a joke. Nobody's laughing.
Oh, wait, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I was smelling this beer. And I agree with you on the smell. This beer is... The notes you get off of the scents on this are just incredible.
I'm also eating it with a bunch of meats, which, you know, we just ate, and I just love meats.
It's almost like being in an old-timey bakery or something.
That's funny.
Molasses and brown sugars.
I have to keep smelling. It's good.
Entertain your friends. Smell some beer.
I've had a couple, I know, right? I've had a couple of barrel-aged beers. Not all of them are good. A lot of times they come out pretty malty, like sugary.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's from the loss of oxygen, just slightly seeps away. But this one is definitely a good balance. It's very drinkable. I could drink this with dinner.
Mm.
I could drink this now.
You are drinking it now.
I am drinking it.
Wait, are you drinking
it? Am I drinking it?
Stop drinking all of it!
It's delicious.
It is.
And I understand when you said you like the smell.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It just has so much going on. Well, and I think that's how it is with most of the stuff that we're going to be eating and tasting. It's like, you know, they say that the palate is really the smell, the scent. They say that the tongue carries... With your four basic, you know, salty, sweet, spicy, bitter, and then there's umami. But when it comes to beer, there's a couple more. It's like piquant, metallic, and something else. I'm forgetting what it is. But there's a couple other qualities that they use to describe beer. And you can tell once you start like tasting beer, like some of these amber ales, they have a little bit of that kind of copper metallic like bitiness to it. Not that it's a bad thing by any means, but it has this kind of almost like soft, sharp. You know, like a fresh penny right off the press is just suck on that.
Oh, man. That's... The last time I sucked on a penny.
That's... Oh, when I was your age, we used to suck on pennies.
Was that her name?
That was her name.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. We're going to get in trouble for this one.
Second half of intro podcast. And we were shut down.
Hopefully not. We'll be here for millions of episodes.
Millions. Millions upon millions.
Black pepper cheese.
It's good. I don't know what it is. That one, it's just, you gotta flip it over.
Oh, because you put the porter cheddar on the other side?
I just put the stick, the...
Yeah.
What's that thing called? There's beer in my brain. For some reason, it gets to the point where it's like, our podcast might get a little sloppy there at the end.
Why get drunk?
Because we're going to just get...
Should we just move on to the whiskey?
I know, right? Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, we might as well.
Peach whiskey from Fireside.
Maha.
Maha.
Hey, don't you think it's interesting that it's Flying Dog Brewery, the Stranahan name?
But it's not the same Stranahan, right?
Yeah, what?
I don't know. Is it the same Stranahan?
Well, his name is George Stranahan
from
Stranahan Whiskey, right?
For those unfamiliar... In the Colorado area, especially...
It's George Stranahan on the website.
Oh,
does it really?
Okay, we need to research this. There might be a conspiracy.
Yeah, he opened up Flying Dog Brew Pub in Aspen.
Huh.
Well, you know what? I heard that George Stranahan, and then like you were saying, for those of you who don't know, we have this distillery out here that opened up...
How many years ago? Longer involved, right?
Years ago, which is Stranahan's Colorado style whiskey, which actually is a style, and that which was explained to me at the distillery, and I cannot repeat what that was because I don't remember. But we will find out that information and talk about it at a later date and time.
I heard that who had set that up, George Stranahan, had, you know, like the whole backstory is like, oh, he had barrels in his barn or something like that, and the barn burnt down, and he loved the smell of that burning, and I was like, cool, so he was a pyro. Let's make whiskey. That makes sense. No, but his whiskey was really good. I still sip on it. They did buy out or sold it to a major company, and I don't necessarily think that it's bad now. I've heard that it's changed. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I still drink it. I like it with a couple of cubes. It's a spicy whiskey. For me, it's definitely a sipping whiskey. It's a little bit more expensive now, too. And, I did hear that he had a couple projects before this one that he also sold and had made money.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we'd have to look that up.
Mm.
But alas, that's what this podcast is about. It's about learning and sharing. In 1998, Graber, a volunteer firefighter, met Stranahan, the founder and owner of Flying Dog Brewery, while fighting a fire at Stranahan's barn. They struck up a conversation about whiskey and were soon in business together. One of the first craft whiskey distillers in the U.S., Stranahan's is said to have kicked off the Colorado distilling craze. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean,
distilling, maybe. Not craft brew, necessarily, because you got, like, Flying Dog and Great Divide that go back to the early 90s.
Oscar Blues is back there, too.
Yeah. So, and New Belgium. All those guys. But, yeah, with distilling, as far as liquor is concerned, spirits... very well could be, because I think that's a relatively newer approach.
I wonder if his was just better recognized.
I don't know.
You know, I wonder if he just got a name out for it because his was so good that people were into it.
Well, who else was around back then? I'm not sure if I know.
I don't know. We'll have to research that.
We're going into a dark, dark hole.
I know, I just want to start saying that after everything we don't know and be like, we'll look into that, Bob.
The research will be done.
But that's kind of interesting. So the fact that that's hilarious. So River North Brewery and this delicious Barrel Reserve, pardon me, I was calling it Barrel Aged something, I don't remember, but it's Barrel Reserve 2014. What we're drinking with this beautiful whiskey barrel, sherry barrel, and Chardonnay barrel aging blend. So that's funny that you knew that basically River North was the original Flying Dog, which was...
Well, not really the original Flying Dog. River North occupies the space, just simply the space that Flying Dog used to occupy.
Right,
so,
they bought the facilities.
But Flying Dog, it's not like they consumed it. Flying Dog moved to, where was it, Maryland?
Maryland, yeah.
And consumed Goose something something brewery. Something,
Frederick
something.
Brewing Company? Wild Goose.
Wild Goose Brewing. So they just left Colorado. But the backstory on all this is we started looking into George Stranahan, who was the founder of Flying Dog. And he is also one of the co-founders of Stranahan's Whiskey, which we mentioned.
Well, coincidentally, not knowing that
he was involved with Flying Dog also.
Which was kind of funny. So basically they're saying that Hunter S. Thompson in Aspen, where Flying Dog was established, met George Strenahan because he lived a couple blocks down from Flying Dog Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And they became friends. And then, of course, he introduced him to Ralph Steadman, who is, if anybody's ever seen the Flying Dog labels, you can tell that that is definitely Ralph Steadman work. Awesome work. And it's the artwork. And so now they become, you know, joined in their efforts for Flying Dog. And then that's actually pretty funny. Where is that short?
It's down below with the essay.
Yeah.
Keep going. Right under Hunter S. Thompson. Yes. And then the second paragraph. We would like to. Do you want to read this?
Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to take a snippet from, what was this? The first label for.
A beer inspired and blessed by Thompson, who wrote a short essay about it titled Ale According to Hunter.
And this was the first beer released by Flying Dog, which is the Road Dog Porter. Do you want to read it?
Yeah.
You want me to read it? You can read it.
So it goes, ale has long been the drink of thugs, convicts, rowdies, rakes, and other depraved outlaws who thrive on the quick bursts of night energy that ale brings. In the 17th century, England gangs of ale-crazed fops would often fight to the death in all-night brawls on public greenswards, which terrified the citizenry. Sure. Which terrified the citizens. All right, you got it. And left many of the infamous young blood horsemen chopped up with grievous sword and dagger wounds. Yes, I'll drink a Road Dog Porter. Yes, I'll have one right now. That's what that makes me feel like. It's like,
wow.
These were the wild boys of old English story. It does. It reminds me of Gangs of New York. That's like something that describes the fights that you see in the movie. I felt like that's pretty awesome. If you must roll old ladies down hills and you don't want to pay the bills, try to be nice and clean off their lice with a powerful Road Dog Ale.
Oh, man.
I'm going to remember that one.
Wow. That's powerful right there.
Yeah.
Buy the ticket, take the ride.
And a short toast for its commemoration.
Let's all have a moment of silence.
I'm still reading.
Oh.
Which is funny. So it's like,
I do love this interwoven Colorado history with, there's a lot to explore here with craft spirits, beer, and literature, and particularly American authors between, you know, everywhere from Hunter S. Thompson all the way back to like kind of Jack Kerouac and Neil Cassidy causing ruckus in Denver. There's a whole history behind that in the bar scene, which is pretty fun.
Well, didn't they hang out at like brothels and things like that, or essentially?
Yeah, actually, one of the bars right around the street, right around the corner from us, Charlie Brown's in the Colburn Hotel was one of their stomping grounds.
Yeah, please don't come looking for us. Or do.
You may or may not find us there. And if you do and you can tell who we are, we will buy you a drink.
That's hilarious. If you can find us, we will drink with you.
Yeah, but there's a there's a little Jack Kerouac kind of walking tour of Denver, which mainly includes several bars and the Capitol building and some other things. But focus on the their frequented watering holes, which is kind of interesting.
Places that it's interesting. There's still a lot of celebrities out there that seems like they come out to Denver to, not Denver, but Colorado. To get away, and it's just I feel like it's the culture and the people which make that so much more acceptable. Like, they're not going to swarm you and be like, oh my god, you know, it's Tim Allen, or whatever, whoever else comes out. I don't know a lot of them. I know there's a couple.
Bill Murray has been rumored.
Oh yeah, Bill Murray goes to,
And by the way, Bill Murray, if you would like to be on our podcast, we would love to have you.
Yes, please feel free to contact us, or we'll contact you, and drive on, my friend.
So, I love how this all segues. Like we said, you know, authors, booze, and all these connections. But George Strenahan apparently being the co-founder of, or the founder of Flying Dog, and then the co-founder of Stranahan's. And we just poured ourselves a little Stranahan's.
Ooh, yeah. Let's, from beer to whiskey.
Yeah, beer to whiskey. Why not?
Joe?
Little
sippy sip.
Right. Woo! It was funny because, okay, so this bottle is... I actually got to do the bottling jam at Stranahan's.
Is that what they call it, the bottling jam?
No, that's what I call it.
They don't call it the bottling jelly? Do you know what the difference between jam and jelly is?
Oh, boy.
We'll leave that for another podcast. Join us on episode one or two or whatever.
So the great thing about Stranahan's is, and I'm not, I think they still do this, when I moved here, you could sign up to be on their volunteer bottling list, where they actually use people from the community to come in, and it's kind of like you get to learn about the whiskey and try it, and then you actually help them bottle it, label it, and get it packaged up. And as kind of like a token for your efforts, they give you a bottle from the day you bought them. And
which is cool, because if you guys know anything about Stranahan's, it's good whiskey. It really is. I think it's good. It has different ones. I don't know if it's from the beer, but I'm getting like cocoa and chocolate notes hard off of this, but I think it's because I'm still getting stuff off the barrel reserve, which is a cool
After effect. It's funny because I haven't cracked into Stranahan's in a while. I kind of lost a little bit of a taste for it. I've kind of gotten more of a bitter palate and a savory palate, but this whiskey has a tendency to be really sweet, but the proof on it's a little higher, so it gives you that spice and alcoholic taste.
And zing.
Yeah, a little zing.
Zing, zing,
but
zing.
Honestly, you know, the first thing I thought of when I put this under my nose was coconut.
Do you? So that's funny. So in the conversations about barrel aging when it comes to, like, wine, I know it's on whiskey too, but there's differences in the little nuance of the vanillins, of barrels, the aromas that you get, and coconut is one of them. And I can't remember what it is. I'll look it up, but it says, you know, like, I think it's American oak is what gives you coconuts. And, huh. You know, and then you get like, you know, because it's a lot of baking spices out of barrels, cinnamons, you know, nutmeg, vanilla, you get maple, you get molasses, caramel, you get, you know, different aspects. And French barrels versus American or European barrels versus American barrels actually have different scents. And so coconut is specific to one. I'm going to look that up real quick.
Which is specific to like American barrels?
I think it's specific to American barrels. And I have this, so I'm going to look that up real quick.
Yeah, I'd say that was definitely one of the first scents that I got off of it. And like I said, I haven't tried this whiskey in a while. It's kind of been shelved, literally, in my liquor shelf cabinet.
It's been sitting there.
It's been sitting there. But, yeah, coconut.
It's pretty interesting. So there's a very interesting difference between American barrels and, you know, how porous it is and the way that oxygen hits it versus, you know, it's being more porous than an American barrel, and European barrels have tighter pores into them because of this, basically where they grow up. It's warmer in America, so they grow, you know, outward quicker, so there's, you know, more space in there. And we're not talking large amounts. We're not talking about noticeably like, oh, I mean, it's like a sieve. Water's just seeping through it. But the difference is, you know, the oxygen content that moves in and out of barrels. European barrels are a little tighter. And apparently Hungarian barrels, we just learned this recently.
Wait. Did you say European barrels are a little tighter?
American barrels are a little looser? I'm pretty sure that's what I just said.
Interesting. Anyways, continue. Hungarian barrels
are kind of a mix between the two. They're a little more porous and they allow for a little more oxygen than European barrels. innuendo laden.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Thick with jokes.
Thick. I like them thick and juicy. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, there's, you know, if anybody knows anything about barrels and, you know, the effect on whiskey, it's kind of cool. Hopefully, that's one of the guys I want to talk to, the barrel purveyor that used to be right next to Crooked Stave. That guy, his warehouse was cool. He knew what he was talking about. He had like 30-year-old little tequila barriques that were like, they looked dusty and, you know, web-strewn, and they were very, very cool. And it's, the barrel itself is an art.
Huh. I would imagine it is. I mean, you have to construct the barrel.
Well, so yes, what do they call cooperage?
Cooperage?
So the art of making barrels is cooperage.
Huh.
I believe. I believe that's correct. If it's not, prove it, by the way.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's a great kind of segue to our whole kind of mission statement about Crafted Conversations is, you know, all things crafted, including the barrel itself, which has been a vessel for so many things.
Oh, my craft. God.
You know, wine, beer, spirits.
You know, they'd carry
cheeses.
Cheeses, anything they transport. You know, yeah. One of the greatest stories about the effect of wine or the effect of the barrel on a imbibable product was like Madeira. So they would transport Madeira. They'd use it as ballast to balance out the ships because basically it was just, it was weight.
Right.
And so, you know, when, you know, they'd sell this, they'd send this wine. The Spaniards had created this amazing wine. The Spanish had done this beautiful, I forget what the exact grape is, but the Madeira. But when it came back, it was so exposed to oxygen and heat, and there's so many fluctuations that it basically, it had almost gotten to the point where it was just, it was all sweeter and it had a better flavor to it. And so now processes of barrel aging are the invoking of the fluctuations of heat and temperature and the exposure to oxygen. And if you ever go to a whiskey, if you ever go to Kentucky and you check out some of the, or Kentucky, I guess, you go check out anyone who ever racks barrels of bourbon, there are distillers who have their favorite places in the rack house because certain places have different exposure to heat and different exposure to you know, the cold and oxygen and sunlight. You know, there's a difference between cement flooring versus wooden flooring and, you know, the ebb and flow of temperature as it, you know, changes. And so it's cool. Everybody, these distillers will have favorite places. And so sometimes that's where you get your barrel reserves. But places like this, like, I don't remember Stranahan's. I never took the tour. I don't know if they have a, they have a rack room.
They do have a rack.
They actually have a rack room, like, and restaurant.
Well, yeah, the restaurant. But no, as far as I remember, it was humidified.
Yeah.
And like kind of, I believe it was cooler in there. And it's had a, I think, well, Colorado being so dry, I think that's what it kind of was like, oh my gosh, it's so humid in here. It almost felt like being in a humidor from what I remember.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like wine. The idea is to keep them, you know, keep the corks moist. So yeah, you know, I really like these little espresso cups for tasting this glass espresso cups for tasting these whiskeys.
Not too bad. Let's talk about a newer company in Denver, Colorado.
Why did you have to look that up? You know exactly
no, I know where it is, but I was just kind of set, you know.
He's not good at toggle tasking.
I'm just admiring this bottle with a very long neck. So we're going to try some...
And the moist cork.
We've tried this before, but it's so damn good.
Yeah.
It is Fireside Colorado Peach Flavored Whiskey by Mile High Spirits, which is not too far from my house. And it's a great little distillery that started up several years ago and has been creating some really nice spirits, like craft spirits.
When we went, when you were working at that one place and I would go and I'd hang out there.
At that one place?
That one place. You work at that one place, you had that job where you did that thing?
Woo! That has got a great, this is like candy.
Okay, so this whiskey, when I bought it the first time, you were like, it was really, really good. I bought it, I went home one night, it was just a night off, I wasn't really doing anything, I was like reading and hanging out. I ended up drinking more than like, just probably over, just under three quarters of the bottle, definitely more than half of it. And it was so good. All I did was put it in the fridge, I didn't add water, I didn't add ice. I didn't add anything. I was sipping on this thing like it was candy, and it was so freaking good. Unfortunately, I forgot to drink my water and pace myself, and I woke up the next day and, well, let's just say I had a very, very familiar introduction to my bathroom that I hadn't quite gotten.
Oh, you had to ruin it.
I was hungover for a day and a half, but that's because I was... Oh man, I was pounding the stuff. It was.
Oh good. Man, I'm in Candyland right now.
It does. It smells like. It smells like. That's what it was. It smells and it tastes like peach Jolly Ranchers. To me, that's what it tastes like.
Now, in a future episode, I'd love to have these guys on at Mile High Spirits. They're just creating some great stuff.
Yeah,
it's just fun to hang out there too. And they moved and they haven't reopened the new space yet. They had to expand their operation because they were doing so well. So they had a nice little like kind of tasting room slash bar, which really great place to hang out, supported the live music scene. So I'm really looking forward to them reopening and kind of having a hangout space again to be able to taste all their delicious, delicious liquids.
They're so tasty. It tastes good. It's just delicious.
This is like lollipop whiskey.
Oh my god, it does. It tastes like, which is funny because it kind of reminds me like the blend between, you know, the apple caramel pops. Kind of gives me a little bit of that, like that caramel sweetness to it. But oh, it is just, oh, it's dangerously.
Yeah, it's a good whiskey.
Only ravers can afford this shit. Oh.
Yeah.
Dance, 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 disco, disco, dance, dance.
Hey. No, we were at a, Joe and I were at a bluegrass show the other night, and it was funny because they had a sign on the wall that it was like their specials, and it was $4 peach whiskey and Sprite, and I was like, that's a little too sweet for me, but we're like, hey, what whiskey you guys pouring back there? And sure enough, it was the Mile High Spirits peach fireside whiskey.
I'm not gonna lie to you, it doesn't look like it, and they're not putting out this vibe, but this is a very hip whiskey. You could drink this. I've had it in Fort Collins. I've had it in Denver. Of course, I took it up to Winter Park, so I drank that myself. But I've had this in multiple places around town and in different cities, and I've seen it on the backs of bars. This stuff is easy to drink, and it's 40% alcohol. It's not over the top. Their other whiskey, which is just Fireside, right?
Their other whiskeys?
They have one that's not peach, and it's just called Fireside. I think.
I don't know.
I think it is. I think it's a regular Fireside. That one's pretty good too, but this stuff is just like, what are you guys doing? It's funny, I still get like little hazelnut notes to it.
Ooh. It's like candy though.
It is. This stuff was so good. I drank it that one night and I was like, this is so tasty. I was never a whiskey drinker. Gentlemen, ladies, animals, whatever. If you have a significant other who is not a whiskey drinker and you are, start them with this. Add this into, I don't know, what would you add it into? Shoot, you could turn this into, imagine making a, what did the Big Lebowski drink?
It's a gateway whiskey.
It's a gateway whiskey.
It is a gateway whiskey, 110%.
Oh, it is. That's a good one. Gateway whiskey. This is like the way to introduce. And you don't just get peach though, which is nice. You don't just get sugars, caramels. You get a little bit of that nuttiness, that barrel. It is not bad at all. Peter's fact checking.
Fact checking.
The regular whiskey.
Fat chicken.
He's getting fat chicken.
You are correct. Yes, the Mile High Spirits Fireside Whiskey is the whiskey, or it says it's a, hang on. It's a 4-year age straight bourbon.
Wow.
So then the peach flavored whiskey must be just a twist on that. That's interesting because I don't think I've ever had just the plain Fireside.
I've had it. It's good.
Is it? Are you lying to me?
No, it's not over the top. It's not. I don't want to say it's not bad. I want to say that it's mid tier for me. It's something I would drink. Like, if I had a couple options of, like, oh, if I had Bullet or Stranahan's, and this one, and I would assume that it would be a little bit less, I'd definitely go with the Fireside. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and drink on some Jack Daniels or I'll drink Breckenridge. I do love those guys. Lich, if you're listening, I really want to get in and talk with you guys, because Breckenridge is still one of my favorites.
I haven't tried some Breckenridge in a while. It's a great little...
Little
bourbon action.
Which is funny. Anybody who wants to talk, we'll do that one day. We'll have a conversation about whiskeys versus bourbons versus, scotches and single malts. Because every single malt bourbon, any single malt, or bourbon, or whiskey, or I should say scotch, all of those are whiskeys. But not every whiskey is a bourbon or a scotch, or, you know what I mean? Like, whiskey is more the umbrella category. But each one of those, then it breaks down into its little nuances, which I think is very important. Oh, yeah.
The breakdown. That's important.
Yeah. Break it down. I can't tell if the beer's hitting us or if it's the whiskey.
So many things to choose from. Sure.
And that's all, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost Peter.
I'll be in my room if anybody needs me laying on the floor.
First of all, I don't need you laying on the floor.
Hey, weird. This is not supposed to be like that. This was not the intention of the podcast.
I don't want to do it. This is kind of funny.
Oh, it sounds like we might have to wrap it up here soon.
That's funny. I can't find my notes on barrels. We'll do that. We'll talk to the barrel guy and get some professional advice.
I'd love to talk to a barrel guy.
That's another thing, guys. We'll be talking about pairings and tastings and things like that. We're going to eat and drink, because I always feel like that's what makes it so good. You shouldn't just, drink your palate away. Cleanse it. Eat some good stuff.
Oh, cleanse your palate. Don't just drink your palate away. What was that?
Yeah, don't just drink your palate away. You know, cleanse it and keep drinking. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate us and check us out on, I don't know, I'm just saying what other people say. Check us out on Spreaker and...
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. What do they say? Spreaker? Upslope. Thai style YPA.
I don't even know what the podcast distribution alleys are.
No,
I do. iTunes and Stitcher.
Stitcher, probably. I'm a Downcast user for iPhone.
Yeah, but that's just the app.
Right.
Don't be giving out plugs to any people we don't know.
Yeah.
No, I love Downcast. Actually, I do love Stupid. Downcast too. That is one of my favorite podcasts.
You're the one that interests me. Yeah. We will plug some of our favorite podcasts. I think that's cool because some of the guys that have influenced us and inspired us, and that's what we're talking about, craft. Even podcasting is a craft. Speech, the art of conversation, that is 100% a craft and a skill set. So hopefully we'll learn. I have my favorites. The ones that I was introduced to by my good friend Peter was Brain Software with Mike Mandel and The Art of Charm. And then we got a chance to hang out with those Denver podcast guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty good. And then, of course, one of our favorites, a good friend of ours, Semi-Random Walks with Derek Scruggs.
Oh, yeah, check him out. He's got some great stuff on there. He's some really interesting guests. And he is a good friend.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of local Colorado guys.
He's a funny guy. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
So, next episode.
The next episode. We need a little exhibit. Is that who sings that? I don't know. I'm white. There you go. Hey, you're white too. Stop showing me up. I'm just kidding.
We're going to rename the podcast. A bunch of white guys talking about shit.
We're going to be the shite talkers.
Oh, God. So, you know what I'd really like to try? I think I'm going to make this goal. I don't know if we want to pick some... Name some names and pick some spirits, but I really... the Spirit Hound Gin out of Lyons, Colorado, I believe. I was introduced to that recently, and it is just a fantastic gin. So I'm going to try to get my hands on some of that so I can really... Break it down for everyone. Check it out. Get your hands out of that cheese.
First of all, my hands aren't in the cheese. They're all around the cheese. The cheese is what my hands are. That doesn't make sense. So I want to go talk to the guys from Golden? Are distilling gin, too.
Ah.
They're, let's see, we got them on our notes.
Notes of gin.
Yeah, I met a couple of guys doing that punch competition. Cushion 555. That was really fun. Actually,
we got some great things in the queue coming up, obviously, but you know, it's not always going to be alcohol. There's so many great things to having in Colorado, and like we said, we're not going to restrict it to Colorado, but it is inspiring being here and seeing all these wonderful people making different delicious things for your mouth.
Delicious things for your mouth. That being said, yes, we will actually be talking to other mass producers right now. We're talking, it's one of Colorado's newest procurements or legalizations of course, marijuana.
What?
Yeah, I know. It sounds interesting, but you'd be surprised. A lot of these guys are making great money. I mean, there are leaps and bounds just in the science behind growing.
Oh, that's true. I mean, we should do a marijuana tasting.
We should.
Can we do it without getting high? That would be awesome. Because there are a lot of brilliant, brilliant flavors in marijuana, not going to lie.
Yeah. Some very interesting stuff. I know nearly nothing.
You get that nice, like, orange category and, like, lemon. And then there's, like, the Skittles category.
Skittles? Are you kidding me? That's pretty awesome. I wouldn't mind, but that's the thing for me is I want to know. It's these people who are creating, you know, you hear about strains and you hear about the different effects of marijuana and the flavors and what's good medically and what isn't. And, you know, there's still a lot of stuff out there and we're not doctors by any means, but I've heard that people are very happy with, you know, curing their ailments with marijuana and they've been successful in it. And I think it's brilliant. I think there's a science behind it. And I think a lot of the technology that we're going to see in growing, you know, effectively growing natural, pure products, things that are going to be, you know, better for the environment. You know, the stuff they're using, lights and soils and the movement of air and just all the little things that I've heard about, that's all going to be applicable to growing your own garden in your house or on a larger scale, growing something. Utopian society, the idea of having sustainable farms and, you know, capsules stacked on top of each other. That kind of stuff is going to be Very possible, and I think a lot of that's coming from marijuana because there's a huge amount of money being thrown in there. You know, both from the investor side as well as the consumer side. So it'd be interesting to talk to people on that. We're not advocates of anything by any means, anybody, so please hold your lectures for Sundays. We are here to explore.
Why Sundays?
Sounds like some Sunday bullshit.
It's a church thing.
Yeah, no Sunday bullshit here. We're not really into that.
No, we want to.
We're more into the aliens and shit.
Nice combo with the cheese, by the way.
Mmm, cheese. Meats and cheeses.
Cheats and meeses.
All right, so that's all I got.
I'm okay. For now. Welcome. Okay, guys, if you liked our podcast, remember to subscribe. We're going to have stuff coming out very regularly. We'll be talking to some very interesting people. This will happen. Some of the things we're going to focus on is your modern bartender and your entrepreneur and that startup that wants to create everything from a bartender's bag to the next bicycle made out of bamboo.
Ooh.
Or the wind generators or something of that sort, whatever.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to amazing people.
Keep in touch with us on Twitter at Crafted Convos. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CraftedConvos. And our website, which is CraftedConversations.com. And that is the name of this podcast.
Crafted Conversations.
And you just had a crafted conversation.
Now, go outside and in your life, get crafty.
Is that really what's going to happen next?
I don't know. We don't have an extra saying.
Yeah, send us your extras. Outro.
Outro?
Say. I feel like we're dwindling.
I'm not drinking anymore. I'm just drunk.
I'm just going to hit the pause button now.
Or the off button.